Jamie and Travis present.
This is Jamie and Travis present. And we're back. Man, it's sometimes hard to record a podcast. That's why we've been gone for 2 weeks.
It is hard.
After we launched our season.
I don't know anything about it. You do all of it.
We've just been, some people have been sick. Both of us have been sick. Both of us have had to rearrange a bunch of schedules.
Yeah,
stuff.
We've also had like weird logistics with...
I got ridiculous food poisoning, which canceled one of ours.
I know.
If you want to know which restaurant it was, just see me on the street and ask me which one it was.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you. So we have a wonderful podcast listener that is a friend of yours that hooked me up with some wonderful New York activities.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And got to meet him.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Are we keeping it a secret? Or can I?
We don't have to take. We don't have to say who it is yet.
Okay, everyone knows there's only one.
Because I left my phone recorder on the whole time that I was there.
Okay, that's illegal. Hold on, wait a second.
No, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I have to say, you and Jamie, I've heard a lot of firsts. I had never heard something recorded entirely in a car. Before, and I've probably, I mean, because we briefly lived in the same town, our kids know each other, I probably know way more about Jamie than I ever cared to or wanted to. And look, he's a nice guy, but I gotta tell you, I think he drags you down. I think you are ready, and I love the guy. I know both of his parents. I think he's dragging you down, and I think you are ready to carry the ball. I take advantage, next time he's sick, you know, go ahead and tape a show and talk about him, whatever you need to do, but I think this man, this is yours. This, take it and run. And don't look back. I think he is dragging down the podcast host that is inside you. Hey, Jamie, it's Brian. Just having a good time with my buddy Jamie Rogers in our offices here high above the Rockefeller Center skating rink. Having a little fun with you, buddy. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Great to meet the man who will hereafter and forever be known as your loyal co-host.
Wow. So that, of course, was the voice of Anderson Cooper.
No, it's Lester Holt.
Oh, my God. Brian Williams.
Brian Williams. Oh, that's the best.
That's wonderful. So clearly he knew you were recording. I was very uncomfortable with what you said to you.
I was more sad to learn that he wanted to meet me so that he could record this message for you.
Oh, that's beautiful. We're going to have him. If he gets his ducks in a row and has a good year, I think
as soon as that guy gets his shit together.
Yeah, I think that this could be the year where maybe we would have something to talk to him about on the podcast.
Yeah, what would we talk to him about?
I don't know. He doesn't know any interesting people.
And what is he?
And he's not well spoken. You know, like he was reading that, right?
No, one of his staff wrote that for him.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. So,
and he had trouble reading it.
So I don't want to put him in a position to make him feel uncomfortable is the thing, you know? But we'll talk about it. We need to have his wife on.
No, that's our goal is to have everyone around him on first.
Of the operation.
Yeah.
That is for sure.
And really the only way we're allowed to have him on is if he physically sits at this table.
Sorry. Well, that will be our stance for now.
The best part about that is that he can also, I have the sleeping mat. And a wonderful place for him to sleep.
Did you usually do not like to have house guests?
No, that's the one house guest. The only floor space is in the kitchen. So
well, sleep which is in convenient because we record in the kitchen.
We're already in here.
Yeah.
And then he can make us breakfast.
And he'll probably need to do a couple takes.
Yeah.
So it'd be good to be near here for him.
So he's ready to go.
He's feeling inspiration.
Ready to go.
Yeah. That is so awesome. Can we just say thank you to Brian Williams again?
Thanks, Brian Williams. For everything. Thank you, Brian Williams. That was an amazing time for me. Thank you for putting up with me putting on a show.
Oh, that's so freaking cool.
I can't meet famous people without pretending they're not famous.
Have you, what's the most famous person you met that, well, no, I asked that in a weird question, in a weird way. What is a time, what famous person whom you have met made you the most nervous?
Jeff Tweedy.
Oh, yeah.
For obvious reasons, yeah.
Well.
I'm weird.
I mean, I get your fandom also. Yeah. He's just sort of like,
I was afraid
hipster king,
and I, well, and
so
I was
that is nerve wracking.
That, and I know he doesn't. It's not that he doesn't like to meet people. It's that he's like me, a random person that comes up. Like when somebody comes up to me that I don't know that listens to our podcast and starts talking to me, I feel weird because I don't know them.
You mean that time?
It's that, happened that four happened. Times. It's happened four times recently, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Yeah. I get that.
Other than thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then I know I'm going to walk up to Jeff Tweedy and gush a little.
Yeah.
I didn't. I just wanted to like, oh, hey. Oh, yeah. Hey, buddy. I feel like I know you.
And what was he like?
He was, he had, just finished an awesome show and I think was feeling really good. So he was talkative.
Nice.
And it was great.
And
it
you guys awesome. Like chatted?
Yeah. And I've chatted with him a second time, and he remembered me from the first time, which that was an amazing experience.
That's really
but
cool.
But that's the most nerve-wracking for me.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
All right.
I met Sammy Hagar in the parking lot after a Van Halen show at one point.
That would make me not nervous at all for some reason.
It was I just wanted to wave and walk away. I don't really want to deal with that.
Yeah. I mean, you're not looking for a genuine interaction.
Well, he's not Dave. He's yeah. not David Lee Roth. So oh, okay. Really
today we have Tiffany Brander on the podcast. You're all going to meet her in just a second.
So exciting.
Parking services director for Missoula.
Yes.
So get ready for a conversation about civic engineering, civil engineering.
A program that is necessary for our community.
Yes.
And hopefully if you have a problem with parking,
get over it.
And you wanted to yell at somebody. You cannot yell at this nice person.
Yeah. This episode has the potential to change your attitude about something that you do almost every day.
Yeah.
And for some people, definitely every day.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's great. Thank you for sharing that. Thanks, yeah. Brian. That's awesome.
Awesome.
Okay. I hope you enjoy the show.
All right.
Hi, this is George Lucas, the real George Lucas, and I'm here to remind you to support my friends, Jamie and Travis, by going to their Patreon page, www.patreon.com/JamieandTravisPresent. Wait, what's that, Chewie? Also, you can go listen to their complete archive of episodes at JamieandTravisPresent.com. Again, this is George Lucas, the real George Lucas.
You don't swear.
I won't do it.
We're here today. First guest of the new season. That's really exciting. Woo! and we're here with Tiffany Brander, who is, as of today, the parking director, parking commission director?
Parking services director.
Parking services director of Missoula.
Yeah.
Is that the city of Missoula?
We're a city department. Yep.
City department.
The Missoula Parking Commission Parking Services Director.
You were the interim director, but this happens to be your first day as official director.
Day one.
Congratulations.
We actually have a joke going right now that I didn't know, you know, where I was coming, what it was going to be like, if I was going to get murdered.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have a joke that I might get murdered on my first day. So I'm pretty stoked you guys seem, you know, Legit. Oh,
you were cool. Murdered or fired.
We're cool.
Either
after
or.
You do this.
Right. Yeah. So no cursing yeah. and don't get murdered are no the goals cursing. For today.
That's okay. Not how we're going to close the podcast.
So Tiffany Brannard, thank you so much for coming on. You mentioned when we sat down that I could call you Brandy because people often do.
That
makes
I would...
no sense. People, you say my name's Tiffany Brander and people just call you Brandy?
All the time. I said I would not be offended. I didn't say I would be okay.
Well,
I just wouldn't
I'm
be offended.
Offended on your behalf.
All the time. And so it's not, you know, it's my married name.
Yeah.
My maiden name was worse. It was Ave.
Well, wait, hey, Brander's not a bad
no,
name.
No, I'm stoked about Brander. Yeah. Brander's the, I'm, my last name was Ave before.
That's cool. Ave Maria?
That's exactly it. Except for, that, right, I like where your brain goes. Other people are like, so Avenue? Like, Avre?
Wow.
How do you? What do you?
Wow.
That's lame.
So, I mean, it's three letters, which was cool, but I was glad to go to Brander when I did.
That's excellent. Are you from here?
I'm not.
Where are you
sadly.
From?
Sadly. I'm from a really small town in Arizona. It's called Cottonwood. It's by Sedona.
Yeah. I was just there.
Really?
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of expansion. Crazy amounts of... roundabouts that go nowhere.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly it. That's the talk of the town right now.
Whoa, whoa, wait, what?
Like they're putting in the roundabouts first before there's anything around them.
They really like roundabouts there.
Before there's roads around them?
Yeah, well, there's a road through them, but there's nothing, there's no way to exit the roundabout other than to just go through it.
Oh, funny.
Because they're waiting to see what goes in there. Yeah, there's like a safari-like zoo thing. Mm-hmm. Right?
Out of Africa.
Yeah.
Out of Africa.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
Is that a Kim Basinger movie?
Out of Africa is Robert Redford? No, the other one.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Somebody.
This podcast is great.
Some colonial
it's also
stuff.
Right next to the jail, which is great.
Which, just the jail
yeah,
in that
like
county?
Yeah, like the Yavapai County Jail.
The which county jail?
At Yavapai.
Yavapai?
Not the, that's not Joe Arpaio.
No. It's a different part of Arizona. But.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you say jail in Arizona, I obviously
course,
don't think
right?
of nice things. So how did you make it here?
My beautiful husband's family is from here and we, his mom and all of his family are from, here. His grandpa was highway patrol, so they moved around a bit, but he was, raised in Avon and then they ended up in Hamilton.
He was raised in Avon?
Yeah.
Badass.
Yeah. They're just
cool.
They're great people.
Awesome.
Awesome. Do they still have an Avon, connection?
Yeah. I mean, they don't live there, but we all kind of go up to a cabin that is owned by their friends, and we have a Father's Day celebration up there.
Awesome. Who has not driven through Avon and wondered, I wonder what it's like to live here?
Yeah, it's crazy. it's beautiful. It's really pretty, and Grandpa is the best.
Like, awesome.
All of his family is really great Montanan folks. So, I was actually born in Brooklyn, New York. And
cool.
When I was five, we moved to this real tiny town because my parents threw a dart at a map.
Yes.
Of the southwestern United States.
Literally?
No jokes. Yeah, they wanted to get out of the snow, so they threw a dart in that direction.
And oh.
It landed on Prescott, Arizona. We got to Prescott, and it was snowing. And so my dad was like, I remember this place down
yeah.
the hill. So we drove 45 minutes down a hill and ended up in Cottonwood. And I met my husband in eighth grade. We didn't start dating until after high school, but
okay.
Yeah, we wanted somewhere bigger, and here we'd been here on vacation a few years in a row and decided to make it happen.
So when did this move happen?
2011.
2011. Mm-hmm. So you move here in 2011. 2019, you hold one of the primary power positions in Missoula city government.
Well, I don't know if I'd call it that.
But. Well, if you stop doing your job, we're all fucked.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah. No, okay. That was just like 3 in a row. You were doing so good, too. How many minutes
That's
was
not
that?
Good. No, no, I don't deserve to be congratulated.
6 minutes in.
That was nothing.
Awesome. No. Yeah, it's one of the people will know your name.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know, good and bad, a little bit concerning. So when I was in Arizona, I was a legal assistant and an office manager at law firms. We did a lot of defense work. When I moved here, I started working at the city attorney's office, so prosecution. So half my life, half the world hated me. The other half hated me. And then I moved to parking and was surprised that everyone just hates you.
Yeah.
They don't really, you know, it's contentious. Parking is a really interesting thing to dive into, but just on its, I'm going somewhere and I got a ticket, I'm going to hate you.
Yeah.
And so that's something that we work to try and you know, fix those notions and just kind of make it better as we move forward. But yeah, and being the director of the parking commission is definitely, like, I had to ask my husband, like, are you sure you want to, you know, stay with me with this one?
Really? So when you were in the county attorney's office.
City, yeah.
City attorney's office. Mm-hmm. Were you interested in parking before?
When I got tickets, I sure was interested in it.
So you get it.
I get it. Working, especially just in that portion of downtown, there's a large concentration of folks that are employees that mm-hmm. are parking, and it's kind of, you know, it's an event every morning trying to find a spot and kind of fight for the right one. And
it's hard because it's a little, it's like you feel like, well, I have to park. Okay, I just have to park this car somewhere. I can't just leave it in the middle of the road.
That's true.
And you forget that it is not, it's not like a right. Is it?
You know, I guess that's the question of the day, right? You know, it's hard because cars came first. The need to park them, it wasn't really... It was
shortly behind.
It was, but it was always free. And so when it got to the point where there was the realization that we have more cars than spots, and we have to be able to find a way to create turnover and move, you know, people that are sitting there for 8 to 10 hours a day to the outskirts, so that way the retail shoppers are able to come and go. That came a long time after. So people are, if you're used to doing something, it doesn't matter if it's been, I don't know, 40, 50, 60 years, you're still going to have that need to park, or to park for 25 cents. Or
do you know when roughly pay for parking became?
I do. So the parking commission wasn't established until the 70s, but I believe it was the 30s that the first penny meters were installed in front of City Hall.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's been
a while.
And obviously there's been a lot of change since then as far as, you know, the price that is attached to the meters.
Yeah. I moved here in 2005. And actually, your first few tickets were like a nice note that they would leave you.
Yeah, the sweet freebie.
Yeah.
You still get one sweet freebie.
Do you still?
Yeah.
That's why I buy a new car every 6 months, to get my sweet.
It's true. People do it.
That's why I steal license plates off other cars.
I want my free day.
Okay, so what do you say to your average disgruntled person who just feels like parking? Because ultimately, everyone feels like it's unfair.
Right.
Which then, if you present that to them, I think their most reasonable people would be quick to like back up their complaining.
And
back off their complaining.
Yeah, there are always people that are just not going to be happy with paying for parking or for anything. Yeah, exactly. Right. But you know, we just try and explain it as a service. You know, it's a service to the downtown community. It helps to create a vibrant downtown community. If we were all just sitting parked in front of our destination, not moving all day, no one would be able to get to run in and grab a quick coffee because there's a car that's sitting there for 20 hours. The parking commission also provides parking. So those parking structures that are downtown that are off street parking spaces, we only have something like 1,200-ish on street parking spaces. If we're not paying for that, who is?
Right.
And so if, you know, you could, in the Central Business District, there isn't a requirement to add parking to your development. But let's say I was a hotel person, and I built my own parking on top of or below or whatever in my hotel, and then it's not available to the public. It's my parking and nobody can park there.
Yeah.
So I think that's a huge piece that people don't really understand about the parking commission, is that we provide parking, and we also support parking alternatives, which we can get into because I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that, it's really interesting. I would think of mostly that what parking services do is make sure you've paid.
Yeah, that's a tiny piece.
But it's interesting to think that actually maybe the most important thing parking services generally do is make sure you don't stay there forever. because that space needs to be available for somebody else, yeah. Like for the economy and stuff.
Yeah, keeping everything moving.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah, that we do that. Our enforcement officers, they're out there, they're writing tickets, but they're not just writing tickets because people aren't paid. They're making sure that they're being safe. So parking in yellow zones, making sure that the accessible spaces are available to those who actually need them and have a valid permit or placard.
Yeah.
Loading zones and, you know, bus stops, making sure that people aren't parked in a bus stop because they just felt the need to park there because it was an open space, and then a bus isn't able to park there, and then the entire bus route is now off route that people are relying on. And so, I mean, our officers do a big part of keeping downtown moving.
Yeah.
And also in the residential area over by the university, but downtown is where we're at most.
Do they patrol in the university?
We not on campus, but in the residential district we do.
Yeah.
So where the houses are. There's a portion there that we do.
Okay. Do you have any sense of how many cars park in downtown Missoula every day?
No, but I wish I did.
A lot.
So many, especially if you consider turnover. We've been doing a lot of changing at the Parking Commission since 2015. So we started our with our multi-space parking meter kiosks in December of 2015.
Were you at the parking services when that happened?
I started 2 weeks before that.
Oh, man.
And then the director at the the director at the time retired at the end of that month. So I started actually the day after Thanksgiving, and then I think they rolled out on, I was like December 8th, and then her last day was December 31st.
Sweet timing.
Yeah,
that is sweet. She got out of there.
She's amazing. I hope to be like 1/10 of the person that woman was. She's amazing.
Are we talking about Ann Guest?
Yes, sweet Ann Guest.
It was unfortunate awesome. That the new kiosks were rolled out in the middle of winter because they do not function as well in cold weather. I don't know if you've noticed this.
That's the complaint we've heard.
They don't wake up very fast.
Yeah.
And if you're me, you just start mashing buttons because you think that'll make it wake up faster. And then it wakes up all at once and you've typed 40 letters into your license plate thing.
She didn't have to erase to start over.
But I want you to know I'm not planning on talking any more about the kiosks. But I think they're great.
I think we can talk
What's the feedback on them?
Overall, pretty good. We definitely have, like, especially in the beginning, we had some set complaints. And I think it's important to really separate the two things. So at the same time as rolling out the kiosks, we also implemented a new rate structure. So we went from having like 25 cents for in our 2-hour machines to an escalating rate structure. So the longer you stay on the street, the more you pay.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of concern about that portion. As far as the meters, it was mostly just that they didn't take cash, which is interesting because the old ones never did. And in our climate, it doesn't, it's just a big mess to take like dollar bills.
Why?
Because they get wet in the snow and they jam. And then, so it's just not really recommended for our climate. It was that they, you know, you can't just throw a quarter in and run away. You have to put in your license plate.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much like the most.
Do you know what cancels out though? All those negative things.
What's that?
Is the fact I found this out last year is that you can pay on Front Street and then you can move your car to Spruce Street and you're still paid.
Yeah. Yeah, that's huge. That's a.
I mean, that's wonderful. Maybe you don't want people to know that, though.
No, we do. Absolutely.
Well, you generate more revenue if people think that they need to pay every time they move.
No. because it's all tracked by license plate, it would just extend.
That is pretty great.
But yeah, it's amazing. Awesome. My story is always like, you can go to Double Front and get some chicken, and then you can run over and grab a book, or you know,
I could see that could be a good ad.
It's great, I know. Jimmy Renner with the Parking Commission, get yourself some chicken.
Is it true that if you are at a loading zone with your hazard lights on, nobody can give you a ticket?
No, but it depends on what kind of loading zone. We have two different kinds of loading zones.
Here we go.
Explain.
Love it. Love it.
How do we tell the difference?
There's signage. Okay. So on it'll say either it'll just say loading zone 20-minute limit, which are all of our loading zones. They're all 20-minute limits, and then you can park there. Or it'll say permit required, and then you can't park there without a permit.
Wait, are you telling me? Yeah. That loading zones that are just normal loading zones, you can park there for 20 minutes.
I am in fact telling you that.
And that's like cool.
Yeah. It's totally cool. That leaves a space available for someone who needs it longer than 20 minutes.
But what if I'm in the loading zone in front of Biga Pizza and Bob Marshall shows up with his
name drop
Forest Service pickup truck full of cardboard boxes. And he's like, hey, this is a loading zone. I need to do work, which is legitimate. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, well, I can park here for 20 minutes and like go get a cup of coffee.
Well, I don't actually know whether or not the loading zone in front of Biga Pizza is permit or not.
Let's say it's not.
If it's not, then you're technically loading and unloading. You're loading in your coffee. Most of the time, our loading zones are big enough for 1 to 2 vehicles. Yeah. I mean, they're oftentimes big enough to fit a box truck or a semi. And we just ask that people be respectful of it and absolutely don't go over that 20 minute because we are in a downtown area.
Yeah.
And downtown was not built for vehicles. It was built, you know, for like horses and buggies.
Right.
And, and so there's really not that much room for loading and unloading. We are fortunate to have some really great alley spaces for our delivery drivers.
Yeah.
But they need those spaces.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult, especially as downtown gets busier, to be able to access those. But we also... You know, we understand people need to run in and run out really quickly. So we have that. We also have a 15-minute option on our Passport app. So it's 25 cents for 15 mm-hmm. minutes.
Because there's an app associated with the kiosk, which I think a lot of people don't know.
So that was another one of the complaints that we received is that you had to go to the kiosk to pay and it was slower, you know, your other complaints. And so in February...
Just so everyone knows also, visually, you never have to walk more than like 40 feet to one of these kiosks.
Oh, yeah, no. There's at least one, two. Yeah, they're pretty central. But yeah, but we also understand like it's cold, and especially in the winter, you don't want to walk and you don't have to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can always use the app. You can have it on Apple or Android, but you can also just go online if you're sitting at your desk or whatever.
Awesome.
You can log on there. But yeah, so I mean the app was implemented to be a convenience to people, and I asked last month at our board meeting, we're at about 28% usage on our Passport. So
that seems good.
Yeah,
right?
It's great. I mean our initial goal when I implemented it in 2017 was like 18%. So I'm pretty stoked about it. Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
I love the app too because it works in other cities.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, really?
So it's always just right there and I don't have to worry about it. And it knows where I am. So I don't even have to get out to look up the little number of where I am in Spokane. It knows where I am. Click.
Done.
And it saves all the car's information. Every car has its own little thing. It's really good.
Put in your license
That's excellent.
Plate information over and over again.
Yeah. I'm a little concerned about, you know, what's the company behind the evil corporation behind this parking app that
the umbrella corporation?
Sorry. I don't like that at all. But I think it sounds convenient.
It is convenient. It's pretty safe, and Passport they're pretty reputable in the parking industry.
I'm sure they are.
Wow.
No, I know.
I love that the science fiction story you've started.
I know. That's where I'm at.
It's the Parking Commission was the umbrella corporation.
Exactly. It's their building Terminator.
Y'all are acting like this is the first time I've heard this story.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. All the time.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Do you guys get like negative interactions frequently?
We do. Yeah.
Every day?
Does it always come to physical fighting?
No. Thank goodness. There are very few to no physical altercations in our office. No, I have an amazing staff that are really understanding. I think a lot of them, maybe, you know, you're not necessarily hired with it, but you come to learn very quickly that it's not personal.
Yeah.
And folks are just upset. They're upset about a lot of things. But one thing that's very important to us is customer service and really moving to that customer-based parking environment. And people, just because they're mad when they come in doesn't mean that they have to be mad when they leave. And we can do our best to make sure that their parking experience is overall positive. Like, yes, you do have to follow the city ordinance that city council or the state, you know, make us enforce and you do have to pay for your parking, but it doesn't have to be negative.
Yeah. That's nice.
I try. Yeah. Parking is often the first and the last thing that people do when they come downtown, but it's always the last thing they think about. So we try and make that as positive as we can.
Well, and the other side of it is that I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels like we're a little bit of like a bottleneck right now in Missoula with traffic in general, maybe parking in particular. And it doesn't seem like, aside from people just driving less, you look at downtown Missoula and you say, well, this is just how many cars fit down here. Like, there's not there's anywhere no else to put cars right. unless we start building more parking garages. But, like, I don't want there to be – I don't want every block to have a parking garage. I don't think anyone does. So what are the – you know, this convention center is going in
yep.
in a part of Missoula that does not feel like a high-flow area. It doesn't feel like an area that can take 6,000 people parking cars. What are the, and that's not even talking about all the other development that's happening, new libraries, new apartment buildings. Right. I mean, it's crazy to think that, like, on Front Street in the last, you know, 5 years, how many more people live on Front Street yeah. now? What are the, there must be a lot, this must be something you are thinking about a lot these days.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so we were fortunate with our partnership with MRE, and it was a public-private partnership with the Rome Garage, so where all those people are living down on Front
That's
Street.
That's the big, like, student mm-hmm. housing thing?
Yeah, so they have their floor of parking, and then there's a public floor of parking, so that added 148 spaces to our inventory.
Okay.
And right now it isn't heavily used, but once the library is up and running, the inventory of those spaces, it's going to be amazing to have just right across the street.
Awesome.
But, you know, it's the same as all of our other garages, so the first hour is free, and then it's only $1 an hour to park after that.
Okay.
So it gets people off the street, it added inventory to that area. When we were talking about, you know, the new development that's happening with the Drift there, I believe right now it's projected to have around...
What's the Drift?
Where are we sitting here? Over in the Riverfront Triangle.
Yes.
I believe that's the
development. The convention center?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or event center. The Drift.
It's called the Drift.
It's called the Drift.
The convention center is called the Drift? Why? What? The Drift?
That's for another discussion.
Sorry.
We'll move to our segment. Why did they name it that?
It just seems like a weird name.
It is a weird name.
For whatever.
The Missoula Convention Center?
I think it's the overall project, so I'm not,
yeah,
I'm not sure.
I'm sorry. I have nice things to say about it. I'm excited.
I mean, I'm excited.
I think it sounds great.
I think it will be great.
It totally will be great. Anyway.
But no, I think that entire corridor with the Russell Street Bridge, I mean, from Russell all the way down to Orange, it's going to be a completely different crazy. Environment
yeah.
in just a few years. And so parking is... It's a piece of everything. It's the last thing that people think about often, but it's just a little piece of everything.
So is there does it feel like though this convention center will go in and they're saying like 15,000 people a month at certain times of year will be coming downtown,
mm-hmm.
new people. So we got 150 parking spots over here. Maybe we put in another parking garage that has 200 parking spots. It still feels like, yeah, this is not.
It feels like
it's
a lot,
still going
right?
to be a nightmare.
But I think it's important to consider times and times of use.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you come downtown Monday through Friday 8 to 5, that's when it's probably the most difficult to park. But oftentimes those folks are driving out of downtown, and then you have your lesser but still, you know, pretty vibrant evening portion of drivers that'll come in. And just because the development itself might not be able to park 1,500 people, that between the jurisdiction, there's definitely enough parking. And then also you have with it being right on the bike trail, people are absolutely going, especially your locals, they're to go to a concert or dinner or whatever. For the most part, we're going to choose to take the bike trail. We're going to walk. We're going to, you know, you can Uber, Lyft, whatever. But it's going to change things for sure, but I think it'll overall be positive.
Is there any talk about like switching traffic flow down there at all? Do you know?
I am not familiar enough purview. With it. Yeah, I mean, I've been included in some meetings, but I think, you know, like development services would be able to or even just the developer. I mean, there'll be portions of the West Front that'll be vacated for the development, and I think there'll be some changes to flow there, but I'm just not sure in enough detail.
Sure. Okay. How many parking tickets can I get before
you
either
get the boot?
Yeah, is that the first thing that happens?
No.
What's the first thing that happens?
Well, okay. So you get ticketed.
Yeah.
And any ticket, you have 30 days to I guess, dispute it, if you will.
Yeah.
But so we...
Do people often dispute their parking tickets?
Every day. Yeah, every
do you? Have you ever disputed a parking ticket?
Never.
Have you ever disputed a parking ticket?
I go in and beg.
Yeah, I have. Not recently.
In Missoula?
Yeah.
Where do you go to dispute your ticket currently?
You go right to Angan.
No, I go to
do you email
staff.
Yourself?
Oh. No. But I like I said, I haven't done it. Mostly I just walk up and I hand them my debit card and this sad cloud of shame and then walk away. I'm pretty sure our enforcement officers like take a special eye out for my car. They're like, oh, there's Tiffany's car. Did she pay?
Do you have a problem?
No, I just get busy. I have the same excuses that everyone else does. Sure. And they're all excuses that I shouldn't have. Like my password app will beep in the middle of the meeting and be like, add time, lady. And I won't add time. And then I come out and I get a ticket. Like, yeah. Why do I have the convenience if I don't use it?
Do you feel sometimes like when I've gotten speeding tickets, there's a part of me in Missoula where I kind of want the officer to thank me. You know, because I know you have a quota. I know that this revenue is just a part of how we live here. You guys need these speeding tickets. I actually don't even feel like I did anything wrong, really. I am just contributing to this. I feel like parking, maybe we could take the shame out of it a little bit and understand that when we get parking tickets, we're just kind of doing our civic duty to contribute to the general fund.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a good way to look at it?
I do, except for we don't actually contribute to the general fund.
Oh, what do you where does the money go?
To parking. Oh. So
goes right back in.
Yeah, it goes right back in. But it's funny. So Grandpa Larry, Highway Patrol Grandpa, he always used to say that like at the end of the day, it was a good day if he was thanked for pulling someone over, and that's always something that I'm like, oh, Grandpa Larry, and I think that it really does go well with parking. I mean, it. Like I was saying earlier, you know, maybe it's not going to the general fund, but it is going back to providing parking and parking alternatives. So,
right.
We're financially contributing to parking alternatives. So like the zero bus fare or Mr. TMA, which is a van pool program that helps folks get from the outskirts of town in. So like Frenchtown, the Bitterroot, all of that.
What is that called?
Mr. TMA. So it's the Missoula. I don't know if you're going to test me here. The Missoula Ravalli. Transportation demand. Oh, Lynn, I'm so sorry. I forgot your name. Lynn's the best human in all of the land. And she runs their program, and I always call it Mr. TMA. So it's Mr. and then Transportation Management Association.
That's cool. And it's like, how far out do they go? Do you know?
Pretty far. I think they have vans even in like the Sealy area.
Oh, whoa, cool.
Yeah, they kind of go all over. It's a really great program. And then also, you know, we have Mountain Line, Missoula in Motion, which is, I cannot say enough good things about them. They're a city program, so they're in the development services office. And
Mountain Line is awesome.
Yeah, yep. Mountain Line is great. And so Missoula in Motion works with Mountain Line, but they help folks find carpoolers in their town, like in their area of town. So like, mm-hmm. Let's say you live in the South Hills and you are looking for someone to carpool with, they have a program that will match you with someone. They just do a lot of really cool things. They're super rad folks.
Is there any talk about more sort of pedestrian only stuff downtown, or is that just too huge?
That is not, again, probably not my expertise there. That would be like a Ben Weiss or an Aaron Wilson kind of.
I already had Ben.
Yeah, we don't like Ben, so
we can't talk about Ben anymore.
Oh, poor Ben Weiss. I heard he listens every week.
I love Ben Weiss.
He does.
We love him. Did Ben Weiss have a child?
That's what I hear.
I saw him pushing a stroller, which I assume had a child in it, and I had no idea.
Suspect.
Congratulations on your suspect.
That's what he gets his groceries in.
No.
Do you have any sense of how much revenue is, what's the word I'm looking for?
Generated?
Generated, by parking annually.
Well, like net or just like overall? I mean, so it's about 2.2-ish, and then at the end of the year after expenses and everything, we usually have somewhere around $300,000 that goes back to providing.
And does that go to obviously paying everybody? Yeah. I would assume.
Paying everybody.
Maintenance on the machines.
Yep. So maintenance, on the kiosk, but also our structures, there's like software fees that are involved with all of our, not only our gating equipment, but the meters and then our ticketing software. There is expenses relating to like debt service. So, the payments that we make towards the Park Place garage and, our just various debt service that we have. So like the debt for the meters and the, new gating equipment.
Got it.
That sort of thing.
And I interrupted you before. So, okay. I got a speeding ticket.
Oh,
I go and a parking ticket. Mm-hmm. Let's say I don't dispute it. What I generally would do is put it on the floor of my car, or it would end up there, and then people would just, over time, step on it, and it would just become a part of my car that I just would look and get in and say, there's the parking ticket, and I don't even recognize the parking ticket anymore. It's just been there for months. What's happening to me while I'm looking at that parking ticket?
Not much. So you'll get a notice in the mail that says, hey, you haven't paid us. Can you please do that? That'd be great. Thanks so much. And we'll do that 5 times. So our booting policy.
Wow, that's really nice. I get it.
You have to have 5 outstanding violations that equal an outstanding balance of $50 or more that are, you know, 30 days past due your dispute.
Okay.
And then you just have to be in violation. And if you have that balance, then we take it.
So after 30 days and I have $50 or more.
And 5 tickets.
And 5 tickets? Mm-hmm. Then you're getting...
5 tickets doesn't always equal $50.
Right.
So we wait until that balance is $50.
And then I get a boot.
Then you get the boot. And you get a $75 fee because then our staff has had to do all sorts of extra work from maintenance to enforcement to office staff to go in and put that boot on there.
Have you ever put a boot on a car?
I've helped take a boot off. We have a safety policy that we always go in groups of 2 to remove or place a boot. So oftentimes I end up going with
because
that.
Of potential of disgruntled people?
Yes.
Yeah.
Damn, man. That sucks.
Yeah. It's not fair. It's not cool.
It's just hard. I'm really starting this conversation. I'm really starting to think about, and actually when we talked on the phone, it got me thinking this way a little bit more, that this is just like an existential problem. This is not, nobody said, we're going to provide parking spots and have you guys pay for them. And it's going to be this thing. No, this is a built-in existential issue we have with living in a city. And so there's like zero place to feel like it's unfair. It's just absolutely the way it is. And if anything, parking services, if there was no parking services, if there were no parking tickets, every one of those spots would have a car in it that's been there for 3 months.
Yeah, I would live there.
Because right? I mean, that's where you would store your stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's free bus fare. Why not? Just leave your car right where you need it and then
100%
take the bus, save gas money, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So it does just make me feel like, thanks for doing this.
Yes. Oh, well, thanks. Thanks to the Parking Commission staff, because I can't say enough good things about our enforcement team and our maintenance. And that's, you know, kind of where we started. We have a really great enforcement team.
You really do.
Some wonderful folks that have worked for us for a very long time and deal with a lot of things. And they're always really wonderful about it. And I think that they provide a really great service to our community, and often they're overlooked for that.
This summer, actually, we together had it. I don't know if you were there. Mm-hmm. Travis and I play music, and we were playing music in Karis Park for an out to dinner thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm like, I'm playing drums. I have to park wherever I have to park, and nobody should be upset about it. This sucks.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, who's the enforcement officer who has the flowers in her?
Dark brown hair.
That's Miss Cindy.
And she's just like beam of sunshine. She is, I am amazed by her.
No, she's like, she's the prime example. She should train everybody who works in one of those cars.
She's really wonderful.
Because she has the exact attitude, the most amazing demeanor about the entire thing.
Do you think you can even teach that attitude, though?
No. Like,
It's so...
I've seen her getting yelled at, and she was not enjoying it, obviously, but she did not make it look like it was affecting her.
Man, so...
And it was amazing.
In Karis Park this summer, so she... I'm parked in the most convenient spot possible, and I feel like, well, you know, we got hired to be here. I'm working. Like, certainly I can't get a parking ticket.
Certainly.
And I come back to my truck, and she's, you know, writing down my thing or whatever, and I, you know, immediately launch into my disgruntled passive-aggressive tone that's, like, very thinly veiled in being funny. And she disarmed me so fast with just, like, cheeriness and straightforwardness, but also, like, yeah, you gotta move. And I just was totally amazed by her. I don't know. I felt like, I just want to give you money.
Yeah. I'm sure she would appreciate that. So I think some of it is learned, but I think a lot of it is just the personality. And she's been doing this for 30 plus years.
It's amazing.
Yeah, she has seen it all. She's been a piece of the parking commission since, you know, forever. And she is a huge, just wonderful piece of our downtown. And I think that one sad day when she retires, we'll have to try and, I don't know, keep a piece of her somewhere.
Yeah.
Just like, all of our enforcement team are really great. And like I said, they have a pretty rough job. And I don't think most folks notice or understand that. But I think that Cindy is, she's great.
There aren't too many jobs where people get sort of lightly or really irritated at you for you just doing absolutely your job.
Right.
Is there, but it also seems like in Missoula, I kind of feel like it's been the same three or four people for a while who've been doing that job. Do you notice any fatigue with people in these kinds of positions where they're just like sick of, I don't know, it's a little bit like the DMV worker where it's like just thankless, you know, you are doing your job and people are annoyed at you.
Right. And we have very low turnover in those positions. And I think that the pros kind of outweigh, you know, it's the negative interactions are sort of expected. And that's a piece that they're trained to deal with and something that we train on kind of throughout their time with us. But there's a lot of pros. They get to be outside and they get to interact with the public in a lot of positive ways also. They know that they're doing a great service to the downtown as well as the residential parking areas. They get frustrated like everyone does. But overall, you know, they love what they do and they're pretty dang good at it.
Cool. Very cool. The most impressive thing I've seen in Missoula parking world in the last few years was when they, on Spruce Street, when they turned between Higgins and, like, where the U.S. Bank, is that still a U.S. Bank down there, toward Black Coffee?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
When they turned that street parking into back-in only,
yes.
I thought, no way.
Oh.
No way people are going to be able to do this.
They done did it.
They rock at it, and it makes it so much better.
It's the best.
You want to know the secret?
What is the secret? Wider spots?
No, it's lease parking. Those people park there every single day.
They practice.
They practice and they understand what it takes to be there.
I drive by it and, you know, there are never spots available in the middle of the day in there. And I guess I know why now.
Yep.
But I never park there mostly because I'm worried about, you know, having to start over or something, missing my mark and causing a traffic jam.
They've got some back in angle spaces over by, you know, like the women's club.
Yeah.
I purposefully try and park there so I can practice.
Oh, yeah.
It's tricky.
I love it. Do you take pride in parking? Like, are you a parallel parker?
I am. That's so my mom, like I said, she's a New Yorker.
Yeah.
My dad taught us how to drive, but my mom taught us how to parallel park. And I'm pretty proud of myself.
I am also from that part of the country, and I also take great pride in parallel parking.
It feels real good when you, like, one.
It's amazing.
It really does. What about, do you use a backup cam now?
No, my car's not new enough for that. My husband has one in, like, his truck, but it's like an 07, so it's like a weird... Anyway.
You don't trust it all the way?
I don't, and it's a really big truck, and I try not to drive it. Yeah. He has to back it into our driveway, and often I'll just leave it on the street and give him his keys, because otherwise he makes fun. I hit our sprinklers, he makes fun. I may be from rural Arizona, but I'm not a big truck kind of gal.
Yeah. I get it. I think driving big trucks downtown is a little nerve-wracking myself.
Yeah.
I really do. We have a delivery van, and it freaks me out a little bit.
Is the, when I see... the back end angle park, that seems like the best use of space and the safest way to do it.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it's only one way to come back in, and you're pulling out to pull out. Right. So there's no moves. Is that the most efficient?
And personally, I am not. That's really not up to me. It's up to city engineering and what they tell us to do. So it's a really kind of a cool way of parking. So we enforce what's there, traffic services stripes what's there, and engineering tells us what goes where.
Yeah.
Pretty much. So I wasn't working for the Parking Commission when they did that, so I'm not quite sure on how it was determined, why it was determined, but at least for me as a citizen and someone who tries to, you know, bike past there, it feels like the safest.
Yeah. So how are you liking Missoula?
I love it.
Yeah?
How can you not? You know, I mean, we have a little baby now.
All right.
Yeah, he's 2.5. Thank you. He's pretty cute. I like him a lot. I'll keep him.
That's nice. Lukewarm.
No, he's so good. He has a cold right now.
Wait,
so
how old did you say he was?
2.5.
Awesome.
Yeah, he's super fun. He is, like, really defiant and is, like, super stubborn right now. It's really good, yeah. So there's just so many fun things to do that are free here.
Yeah.
What do you
guys like to do?
Well, we like the outdoors a lot. He's stoked about the library. He likes to go to the library a lot. We went on Friday, and he got to paint at the library and do all sorts of fun things.
Right on. Are people going in? When is the new? I haven't been down there. Is the new library like?
Not yet. I hear July.
Oh, okay.
July. Yeah, is coming up, and it's gonna be amazing.
It looks cool.
Yeah, I can't even begin to think how cool that's gonna be when he'll get to grow up in a brand new. Fun fact about Tiffany Brander: libraries are my favorite place in all of the land. It doesn't matter like where it is. Like walking in and just like the smell of books feels like home to me. I love it. And because I was, you know, rural kid, it was in the middle of the desert and it's hot. So what do you do in the summer? You go to the library. And so I'm really looking forward to just sharing that joy with him. And the fact that they'll have like a climbing tower and just like a...
Really?
Yeah, it's amazing. The Spectrum's going to be in there. It's just going to be like a one-stop shop for all of the awesome things.
Drop your kids off.
I think you kind of have to go with them. But pretty much, like, okay, Mama's going to read.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Have fun. Yeah, so...
You seem like a really civic-minded person. Is that correct? Or did you just happen to do all these jobs and all these interests that are civic-adjacent?
I'm a Girl Scout.
You know, really?
They taught us young. No.
Wait, are you?
Well, not anymore, but I was. Oh. And actually, so we didn't know the gender of our child. And so they put him on my chest. And I was like, oh, it's a boy. Yay.
Yeah.
But also, I was like, dang it. I'm not going to be able to be a Girl Scout troop mom. Aww.
You can be a Boy Scout
troop. Yeah,
that's
den
what
mother.
My sister did. That's oh. what, and she's loving the den mother life.
And isn't it kind of now, aren't the Boy Scouts like cool? Like, isn't everybody can be whatever they want now?
I don't remember how that shook out. I remember it was in the news.
I think
there's a whole bunch of news.
I think that you can just choose when you're young to do whatever thing you want to do, which sounds like definitely the way it should be.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It seems obvious.
Come on.
I think that local government plays a huge part in our lives. And, you know, whatever happens at the state level or, you know, even bigger than that, it's what comes home is really like your local government.
Yeah.
And I think that we have a really wonderful city of Missoula staff, and our council is present and engaged, and they want to help, and they are dealing with a lot of really difficult issues right now, definitely outside of like the parking world or like my general realm of things.
Yeah.
But I think we live in a really great community. It's hard not to want to volunteer or be engaged in the, you know, our government, or, you know, it's hard. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Great.
That's really cool.
I don't know if I don't know if I'd feel the same if I lived somewhere else. So I guess I don't know if I could say like I am a civic-minded individual, but dang it, I love this city.
Missoula civic-minded. Yeah. That's really neat.
Yeah, I'm stoked to be able to work for the city, but also to work in parking where it's just like this crazy, weird puzzle that I get to work on.
It is a puzzle, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just a constant moving problem.
Yeah. Yep.
And it just seems like such an interesting time.
All day. It's awesome. I mean, I could come in and have absolutely nothing on my calendar and all of a sudden look at the clock and it's noon and I've dealt with a range of people asking for, you know, I need accessible parking. Can you tell me where to park? To someone's mad about a parking ticket. To there is a school group coming down to Karis Park and they want to know where the best place to park is. To just coming and doing a podcast with y'all. Like it's just, it's never a boring day.
Do you have any like sneaky tips? Like let's say, you know, I'm coming down for farmers markets on Saturday.
We're not open on Saturday. Good luck to you.
Okay.
I
guess I'm talking more as like someone who knows about parking in Missoula, but also someone who has to park in Missoula. Maybe you don't want to talk about it.
No,
like,
I'll share
are there
secrets.
Like little stashes, little parking spot stashes?
Yeah, so, you know, it's, so our hours are off of operation are Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m., excluding weekends and state of Montana observed holidays. So outside of those hours, it's free game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's...
Oh, so Saturday is, you're saying...
Free game?
You just park on the sidewalk or whatever.
Whoa. Let's be safe here.
Hey,
let's
you said it.
As far as available legal parking spaces. So anything that's a lease space on a normal Monday through Friday is available for the public to park. So anywhere in the Park Place garage, anywhere in the Central Park garage, anywhere in the brand new Rome garage.
Oh, you can park in the parking garages for free on the weekend?
Yeah.
I did not even know that.
Yeah.
And did you know that?
Yes.
Seems like he knows a lot more about parking.
Well, Travis definitely. Travis drives everywhere. I ride a bike everywhere.
I don't leave the house anymore. But
haven't ridden a bike
in
3 years.
At one point, I spent 8-9 months living in the Volkswagen, gigging as a musician.
Oh,
so I was downtown a lot.
So he probably has way living more tips downtown than I do.
What are your? Do you got any secret spots?
The garage was great, but this was before. This was when there was only one garage.
Yeah.
So.
Now you have multiple choices.
You can hang out in there for a while on the weekends. It's pretty sweet.
That's pretty fun.
It's also better for weather.
We just ask that people are safe and respect, you know, don't be doing anything crazy. Keep it clean. But yeah, we don't charge for parking and we're not enforcing it. So there's parking garages, there's the lots that we enforce.
All right. So. I was just hoping that there would be like, hey, if you go to the end of Front Street, there's always a spot available.
Yeah.
Right in front of Wally
and Buck. Front Street's a bad example.
Wally and Buck, always a spot.
Have you been to Wally and Buck's?
I have not yet.
Me neither.
No, I've heard. So good. That's what I've heard. I'm kind of ashamed that I haven't, but they open at 4, so it's hard because unless I'm coming on a weekend, I would have to leave work, go home, get the baby and that beautiful husband of mine and then bring them back to downtown.
I really love your husband.
He said,
oh my God.
She said beautiful twice. We're going to need to see pictures.
Yeah. What's up with this guy? Can we see him?
Absolutely. He's gorgeous. He has a beautiful beard. He is the most, he's just kind and wonderful.
Oh, this is great.
Now he's going to have to listen to this.
What's his name?
His name is Zach or Zachary.
Oh,
Zach. Yeah. He's been my hinny for a long time. I plan on keeping him.
That's so nice.
He might leave me after this.
Why? Do you think this is not going well?
No.
Oh, he is
right?
Very, very handsome.
He's very cute.
Oh.
He also
looks like he belongs here
too.
He
looks like a Montana guy. He looks fit. He looks strong. He's not wearing a shirt in the picture she showed us.
Okay, well, let's clarify. He is holding my baby on the beach. They
didn't
were
even
swimming.
See the kid.
There's a baby in
the stop it right now. There's our beautiful son. It was the first picture I pulled up. Oh my gosh.
Wait, what are you, wait, was I was being 100%
yeah,
honestly.
I was so distracted
complimentary.
By
of him.
I agree. The beautiful man. But that makes the photo sound like I showed you something that I did not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. True. It's not a dirty picture. No.
It was a perfect picture.
And he has really nice facial hair.
Yes, he has a beautiful beard. Well, he definitely has like the Missoula dad like outfit. Like he wears chacos and like flannel a lot.
And again, he has a shirt on in this picture. There I can go. Still tell he's very fit.
Yeah, he's great. He's wonderful. He works for a beer. He works for Summit Beverage, so they distribute beer and wine. So his job's way cooler than mine, right?
I don't think that's true. I think your job is interesting.
Your job is really cool.
It is really cool, but he doesn't like. I don't get to say like I make sure the people get the beer. He does all the logistics.
They can't get the beer if they can't park their car.
That's true.
Amen.
So, which is why loading zones are very important.
You could like really hook him up.
Yeah, rename the loading zone spaces growler fill spaces.
Oh god,
20-minute growler fills only outside of the gym.
I will move. I am gone. See you later. What is your favorite part of your job?
My favorite part of the job is just looking at the daily challenges and working to solve them. And I think because it is such an intricate puzzle, it not often is it an immediate solution. So it's something that we get to work on, and not just within our department, but with other city departments, and just a bunch of really great people that we get to work towards a solution with. And I really like the kind of community behind that. And
that is, I think, a really special thing for someone working in city government to say that's what they love about their job. I mean, I would imagine lots of people, probably mostly in bigger cities, would say the least fair thing about the job is that I have to talk to all these people every day, and you know, the bureaucracy is bureaucracy and everything takes forever and people are annoyed. And I'm not getting that at all.
No,
from you.
I like who I work with. I think that we're really fortunate at the city of Missoula to have some really smart people who know what they're doing, and I am smart enough to know when I'm not the smartest person in the room, and I'm not afraid to ask an engineering question or a planning question or something that I don't understand. And I mean, my degree is in communication studies, so it's definitely not in city planning, but it is in communicating, and that's what
seems
I like.
Perfect for
yeah,
this.
That's yeah. what I like to do, and I think that I don't know, like I said, maybe in a different city it would pan out differently, but I feel really fortunate to work with the folks that I do.
I think I'm going to say that I think we're lucky to have Tiffany as our parking director.
Oh, well, thanks.
I think. Yeah. I think that you are perfectly suited for this, it sounds like.
It is day one.
It is day one.
Day one.
Although the interim period has been 1 year, so I guess it's 1 year and 1 day.
You know what's going on. Yeah, 1 year, that's plenty of time to figure.
I think so.
To know if. Well, Tiffany, thank you so much for coming on our podcast talking about this stuff.
That
this
went
is
fast.
It.
Jeez.
Well, I mean.
That's how much fun it is to be here.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. So thank you so much. And if anybody needs to dispute a parking ticket, we will put Tiffany's cell phone number in the show notes.
Yes, because I got lost on my way here, so I called. And I was like, where am I going?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We'll get all your information.
Yeah, that Arizona phone number. That's me. No, but like if anyone has any questions or complaints or just wants to compliment my amazing staff, they can just go to our website, just on the city's page. We have a Facebook page, or they can just call me directly at 552-6250.
Awesome. Tiffany, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This has been Jamie.
And Travis.
Present.
Yay. That was great.
Hi, this is George Lucas, the real George Lucas, and I'm here to remind you to support my friends Jamie and Travis by going to their Patreon page, patreon.com/JamieandTravisPresent. Wait, what's that, Chewy? Also, you can go listen to their complete archive of episodes at JamieandTravisPresent.com. Again, this is George Lucas, the real George Lucas.
Jamie and Travis present.